Welcome to Send a Link, where we analyze the latest feeds and
send weed. The link.
This is our first IG live struggle episode. Shout out to the Cassandra for being here for some reason. Quarantine pod, Corona series podcast, DJ. We're going to save this for posterity because shit is real. Shit is real. And as I go back into the archives and I look at how much we talked about this casually first, I go into our episodes. We haven't done an episode for 3 weeks or so. And it's like, oh, what's happening? What's going on? And I look back into our archives. It's like we had a Wuhan episode and that was January. Then we talked about it again, and when we did it, talked about Jay-Z, then a little bit with the Bloomberg episode, and now it's like, oh shit, this is actually subsuming our lives, and we are in interesting time and space with this, man. So I say that to say, how are you doing? I'm sure you're doing okay, and what do you make of the end of the world?
For the time being, right?
Oh, well, the suspension of the world.
Yes, yeah, I would rather call it that, right? Or the
nihilism gang.
The Great Culling.
We must remove 10% of the population. 1%. 1%, right? Something like that. It's just scary.
Two to four, or whatever the fuck. In the worst case scenarios, I'm an M&M. I've grown into an amateur expert, just like everyone else. But yeah, over here, healthy, fine. Bunkered down in my part of Brooklyn. Leave out probably every other day or so. Go for a run, get groceries, get some fresh air, but not intermingling amongst folks. I've been working from home for the past 2 weeks, I guess, now, totaling. And dispersed through that week, I've actually tried to prepare myself a lot by buying, like, a desk and monitors and a new fucking computer chair and shit like that. So it's not as terrible of an experience as it could have been. Yeah. And I just had I'm sure I'm not the first person to really take a zoomed out view of the situation and saw that it wasn't going to resolve itself anytime soon. So it's best to be relatively prepared, not to act like it's the end of the world. But if I'm going to be working from home for the next several weeks, then, you know, why not have your shit together? But yeah, I mean, everything is totally flipped on its head. Life as we know it, our normal habits and trends, the people that we see, the businesses big and small that I would patronize on a daily basis, can't really go there anymore. And it looks like you and I are now in the surreal state of being in the epicenter, the global epicenter of this shit at this point in New York. And it pervades everything, even when watching stuff on, you know, streaming and whatnot. They have these PSAs that come on before all of the ads. If you're in a car, and my fiance and I had a chance to.
That shit really does feel like some, I don't
go
know,
go out
crazy
to New Jersey over the last weekend. They had the signs. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's every and anywhere. So
it's like a fucking movie.
Yeah, pretty much like a movie, like a slow rolling movie, though, because the immediate effects are not as drastic or scary. You know, people don't turn into zombies or die immediately, but it's more so
it's the first act.
You know, you get a terrible case of
when Will Smith was an army general and shit. he was an Air Force general or some shit. Things would be all right. We're just the flashback.
Yeah, not quite. But yeah, so just been trying to follow the news, but also, you know, trying to take my mind off of that too much. I think everybody has gone to overdrive in terms of our social media diets, you know, following all the latest tweets and whatever's happening. the powers that be. I think a large portion of what would you want to call that? The relative nouveau riche, or at least culturally among us.
Nouveau riche.
Or at least blue state America, blue city America, where more really support the current federal administration, and we're not getting the best. Guidance from them, so it adds the anxiety as well, because we don't know what's true and what's not. Well, we do know what's true and what's not, but we don't know if what's being executed federally is. Of course, if, I would say the country has a new like national story, like every 3 days, maybe 2 or 3 days. It's always like some shit.
And the corona wave is way longer.
So I don't know. This could go in so many different directions. Obviously, the leftist Twitter to rally around Andrew Cuomo, and there's like his communications and just his leadership. But that's been a funny development as well, in lieu of the lack of federal leadership. So
shout out Big Cuomo.
A lot of shit going on. But just like me, just like everyone else, I'm just waiting out.
You don't like this Cuomo wave?
What say you? Have you been?
You're not pro.
What about
Cuomo?
It?
You're not this Cuomo Palooza Cuomo craze? Big Cuomo.
Man, is that his fan club? Because like, his internet going cold.
He's just mad.
Cuomo Palooza.
It's because he's very what's the word? He's super Italian in this moment, and people like that shit. People are feeling it. It's like he's very forward. He's clear. He looks haggard. He's real presidential. I don't know what the deal with that is. But
yeah,
I mean, I'm pro. I'm for it. Mm. That's my. I'll take him over Biden.
Yeah,
he's alive.
Yeah, they better have Biden wrapped up like Bubble Boy somewhere. So
got him like this weekend's a Bernie shit is out of hand, man.
No, I'm talking about for his own health.
I mean, yeah, he's definitely probably sick. I mean,
all these old motherfuckers talking about trying to get people back to work. Mm-hmm. But what say you? How do things stand? What's the latest?
The world? I mean, shit is...
It's been a while.
It's just chaos, man. I mean, I'm just trying to...
With you in the world?
I'm just trying to be positive, DJ. I don't know what to tell you or what to say about the state of things, mind... Like I don't know. I want shit to. I'm trying to make sure this shit is on, so I'm hearing you at the same time. But no, like I'm stressed about this shit, mostly for my grandma's old and shit. She's bored. You know, people are bored as shit. Like that's the biggest takeaway from this is that people are bored. They have nothing to do. They're trying to maintain like a sense of normalcy, and I don't think it's gonna come. So people are doing weird shit. Everyone, the veneer of society has fallen down, and I love it because society is garbage. And you know, I'm big nihilist. I'm a big nihilist, and I love that no one has any money, and the fact that shit stopped for a week and the society collapsed, dog. No, not a single business has any money saved. Airlines falling apart. I'm like, damn, y'all don't save none of that money you stole.
Niggas ain't paying bills.
Niggas ain't paying bills. Fucking, what is it? Cruise ships trying to get money? Cruise ships can't get nothing. They cannot get a single dollar.
Casinos
and shit. So it's funny that, you know, that's where we at with the stimulus and whatnot and people's general, I don't know, the sort of flouting whether or not people could get sick. It's like, oh, it's only older people. Oh, it's only in China. And now the shit is just, nah, it's coming. Come for everybody. And I just, you know, I don't know. This whole shit is just, it's peculiar to me as a whole. And I don't know how to feel about it. I really don't. And it is what it is. I don't want to be negative, but I just, you know, whatever. This shit is, I'm more,
okay.
The long-term ramifications of this shit is what makes me laugh. Because it's like, what's going to happen with the way people feel about government and society now that like the veneer's off. You can't pretend like this shit is going to be. Well, we can go back to normal after this shit? No way. And I'm mad that the whole shit with Bernie was like a week before. Society collapsed. They're like, oh, we're moving on from Bernie. Society falls apart. And now everybody wants fucking universal. We need healthcare. And the thing about it is the idea that not having universal healthcare a month before all businesses go under is hilarious to me. It's just like, oh, now they're not going to pay that shit. Businesses don't want to pay healthcare. I hope that makes... That should be a Republican platform. I never understood that, why businesses want to pay healthcare. They should all gang up on insurance businesses and be like, fuck y'all. I'm Walmart. Why I got to pay for this shit?
I think it's a means to...
control people? Be rich?
People... And there are definitely economic studies about it where it's a means to keep people at their jobs because you know, you're taking a risk to going out into the open market if you don't have immediate employment between the two. So since the vast majority of the country gets their insurance from their employers, yeah, you can't just say, fuck it, I'm going to set out on my own for a couple of months without any insurance. You know, you could try a couple of other things, you know, like get them personal stuff like on Obamacare markets or what have you, but it's still, it's not user-friendly to say the least. Yeah. I think you dealt with that before, right?
Yeah, I'm a Obamacare survivor.
Survivor.
It's just garbage, you know, because people want to half step on shit. They give you this plate of beans and act like it's supposed to be fucking healthcare. Yeah, pay $400 a month for, what is it called? Catastrophic. That shit is called catastrophic.
In case of catastrophe.
Hey, it's just the lowest shit, you know, in case you get hit by buses some shit.
Fuck fuck a cold or just getting a checkup.
It's like, this shit is...
Only your arm get cut off.
And think about that, that was an improvement.
Lumberjack accident.
That was an improvement over, like, just... Niggas just dying 20 years ago. It's like, oh, got sick? Catch you outside. That's why this whole thing about killing grandma wave... From the lieutenant governor of Texas was like, hey, listen, some guy makes some sacrifices out here if it's time.
Yo, these niggas are bullshitting so hard, though. This talking point is whack. Because none of these people are going to sacrifice themselves. They're only talking about, like, that in the abstract. How many of these people are just going to be, like, going about their regular lives, like, fuck it, I'm cool, walking around downtown New York? Like, niggas are scared.
I'm not going to lie. Fire sci-fi plot, though. Like, there's a big grinder and shit, and old people could just jump in there and, you know, sacrifice yourself to the economy. And then, or it could be like some kind of creature and shit. It's like a representation of the economy. It's just like this giant slug creature. It's like, it's just disgusting. The economy. Sacrifice yourself to the economy. Breathing on hard. It's like an open pit in the earth, but it's really a fucking slug or some nasty shit. I don't know. But yeah, that is a ridiculous talking point. You have a point there. I don't know, man. It's interesting times. I never, like, wow. I didn't see this shit coming.
Yo, whoever's writing the plots on this shit has really totally went left for the past few years now, son. Who would have thought we would have had the most incompetent president during?
And he's wilding
too. Like, during the global pandemic. So.
The noise about this shit makes me laugh too. Brings me back to what's my man with the glasses? That's garbage. Dan Jones, and when he was like, "Oh, he's turned presidential," like right after. It's like, we knew that shit was never going to happen, but this shit really is never, ever, ever going to happen. Especially last week when he gave us my favorite Trump bar. And I take this with a grain of salt because this nigga is hilarious, right? I feel bad because he's hilarious. Yeah. And every time he does something, it gets better and better. But the shit when he goes, "I don't take responsibility for anything." I was like, there it is. There it is. Absolutely. That's it. He doesn't take responsibility for anything. And it's...
The convergence of politics, policy, and entertainment is just...
Son,
become far too dangerous.
It's like...
It's because the nigga's entertainment, so it is. But he's also, like, responsible for millions of lives. So that's what makes it tough.
Advertising is too powerful, son.
He was great on The Apprentice.
This shit is all about advertising, son. This shit is, like... It's just all about eyes and attention, man. And it's... I don't know. Fuck everybody. So now that we, I don't know, Elizabeth Warren trying to coup her way into the presidency by being VP and Joe Biden dying. Like, that, this is the whole plan the whole time. She's like, it was like Knives Out plot and shit. You didn't see it yet.
Nah, not yet. I'm thinking about buying it.
So I can't spoil it for you. But basically, Elizabeth Warren's entire 2-3 week political strategy post her dropping out is the side plot of Knives Out. It's all falling together. It makes perfect sense. I didn't believe it at first, but when you watch it, it'll come home. Cause
how has it become so morbid lately, said? Like, everything's contingent on just whether niggas die or not. Like, there was a plot line what, last week about Trump getting tested. We was like, oh shit.
Niggas was hoping and shit, playing craps on it. Like, oh shit, yeah. This nigga's gonna die. Yeah. Yes. Oh man, but that's another. Switching gears, that's another plot twist of this that I actually enjoy. It's like, all right, this doing the Deadpool. Like, who was you, the first motherfucker that you think is really gonna catch a shit and die? Because it was like, oh, it's not that serious. Older people will be fine. Rich people will be fine. But they told me Prince Charles got it. I'm like, damn, this is a Greek tragedy and shit. It's a Greek tragedy. This nigga never gonna become king. He's never gonna be king, yo. He's gonna die of coronavirus. He better live. He doesn't deserve it, yo. He doesn't to live all this long.
He's rich though.
He's rich, but I feel like this shit is like an epic tragedy. He's gonna be just on his deathbed. His mother was just gonna be talking to him. I never wanted this for you, Charles. I always wanted you to be king. It's just
this is only going to escalate. It's only going to escalate over the next few weeks. I mean, I guess we're just trying to like lighten the mood and the morbidity, but obviously they're just going to be more notable or famous people to get it. And then chances are some of them may pass, you know, and they may not all be necessarily be old people, and they may not be people that you love or support. But I think as time passes, it becomes more and more real for people. I mean, obviously, we're within this ridiculous storyline now about, we should just go back to opening up the economy. It's like, nigga, we just shut down like a week ago. Like, I don't know how we just supposed to just flip the switch and act like everything is cool. Even if everything were to open
the economy,
everybody would be scared. There would still be demand side shocks. Like, people would still not be patronizing, you know, small businesses, theaters, and places where a lot of people congregate, because we know we're still out there. We know that we haven't really contained it. We know we haven't tested everybody that should be tested. You know, we haven't really traced it, all the different hotspots and whatnot. So that just seems like a fallacy. That is just going to fall by the wayside, especially as the numbers continue to climb. And especially as it climbs in other places. I think the silver lining of, you know, us living in New York and us dealing with it most principally now is like, we gonna be through with that shit in a minute. You know, like, it's gonna taper off. It's gonna be fucking terrible for the next few weeks.
I will say this though, what tripped me out, it's like, damn, we really at the center of the global pandemic. Like, New York is not gonna really affect New York. Things are it'll get around. Then they started talking about like the trickle in of the shit happening. It's just been crazy. I don't know, man. But yeah, continue, proceed.
No, I'm just saying, like, they're going to be random ass places, or regardless of your politics or whatever, it's just going to continue to spread across the country, especially in the places that are not taking it as seriously. Louisiana has like the highest growth rate right now. It appears.
I saw that somewhere. I can't verify shit because I would have to look at it, but I did see that. I think there's all the politics around it, but it's this weird cultural thing when people don't want to listen to the politics. Like, I saw in Mississippi that they reopened up, like, flouting the federal rules. Gun stores are essential. Just because, like, they, I don't know. I want this team shit to end, and it really feels like it's not. Is it going to take, I don't know, Rand Paul's life? Is it going to take No, I mean, in reality, it's going to take the economy. Like, there's some really big company is going to have to, like, fucking fail. I think I saw today the NBA is actually cutting people's salaries, too. Like, I want to say 20%. So it's like, yo, when it gets to be, I don't know, some megacorp, Berkshire Hathaway start leaving people, letting people off, telling no more traders, I think then people will care. That particular element will care. But I don't know, man. I'm just glad to.
Not yet. It'll take the right people to catch it and to be put under or to pass. And just the reality. I mean, all this shit is already accused, honestly, from the economic and cultural and political centers of the country anyway. So, you in Louisiana or what have you, maybe not your life per se, but the actions of your state are marginal. But, you know, they'll catch the after effects, the aftershocks of what occurs in the, you know, central places first. So people still have open and free movement. Most likely the disease or the virus had been spreading in the country before we even knew. And that was the word as well, right? That... or at least that's what people suspect now, like based on the rate of or number of cases in New York. The idea now is that it wasn't even, remember that lady came back from Iran and they thought that she was like the first person.
Yeah.
She was the first person to test positive for it. But most likely it had already been in New York for some time.
Of course, yeah. Man.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, we're kind of all over the place. Obviously, it's just... Life has just been so completely flipped.
Yeah, and there's no obviously
in
not the regular
extremely short span of time, man. Yeah, son. Like I was just at cocktail hour. I'm not gonna flex. I'm not gonna give all the details, but I was just at a cocktail
hour with
the snootiest and most elite of elite. Nah, chill. But just context is, I was just at a cocktail hour, like literally the first of this month of March, and people still knew about Corona, but you know, nothing was shut down. It was all Gucci. What's today? 25th? 26th?
Something like that.
Literally everything is completely different. So that is just mind-boggling. And it just shows you how things can change so fast and how little control you may have over large events, you know. Sometimes shit just happens and you just have to bunker down and muddle your way through it. Or we have to collectively as a people. So with that said, how has your social distancing experience gone? Are you abiding? You go outside? Do you still dap niggas up?
No. I mean, I don't touch niggas now. But, you know, generally, I don't do much. We've been holed up in the crib more or less. I get my going back in my gamer bag because I literally haven't played no games or anything in a while. I've been doing that, watching shit, staying away from people. It's just, I mean, I managed to experience one of my first experiences with the apocalypse economy, which is price gouging. I was able to come up on an N95 mask.
You're gouging people?
Hold up. Wait a minute. Coming back.
Coming back, podcast. Look at you.
You know what, man? I got to be appropriate for this podcast, as I was able to acquire an N95 mask.
So, pardon the audio there, but I was able to acquire an N95 mask, which definitely was an experience in price gouging, considering that I wasn't able to pay a normal price for it. I was told that these are roughly 50 cents normally for a mask, and I'm paying upwards of fucking, what did this cost me? $6? Which is like an absurd amount of money for a paper mask. But hey, I got one. Right. So that's great. I'm glad to feel like I.
You only got one? Is that? That's what you're going to keep using?
That I'm safe. I'm going to keep using. Yes. Yeah, I mean, you're supposed to keep using. It's not like it's what's the word? Like, I don't know. Disposable? It's not disposable. You can use them.
So, oh, they're not?
But I. It was weird just to see, like, the way I came up on that was I was able to see it on a storefront. And then, you know, it's like this weird underground economy shit where they weren't going to be like, oh, we have some. And you look and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Hey, you have it in the back. And you have to go and, like, they get the box and they open the shit up. They take it out the package. Like buying Lucy's or some shit. So I feel
where'd you go? What kind of store is this?
It was like a hardware store. Hardware stores are the new dirty bodegas, this shit.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see all type of masks. Obviously, the surgical ones, the fucking construction masks.
This is definitely the, like, when they look back, 2020 and shit. People walk around with the fucking masks on their face. It's like, this is the future. The future of news. People would be really, I don't know. It feels weird to think about what it means to have.
I think the audio on the Google now. I don't know why.
Oh, you lost me there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just repeat the last thing that you said.
No, I'm saying it's just a weird experience, man, to see the price gouging and, like, what this is going to look like in the history books, because I think it's going to look like this. Everybody's been walking around looking crazy. They're going to have all this. It's definitely a moment in time, and it feels bad living in two moments of time, 9/11 and now this, and then all this terrible shit. And I just want people to just decide to be like, fuck it. We're going to just give in to socialism. Bernie's up there during the Senate. I don't even talk about Bernie no more, but just like, the idea of what it means to do this shit is just out of hand. It's out of hand. And I just, you know, my nihilism and shit. It's just like, what the fuck is wrong with So I say,
your nihilism would just be flaring up.
And my nihilism is getting out of hand with this, because it's like, look, y'all, the world is ending. Can y'all at least be respectful of each other? Or Tom Steyer and Michael Bloomberg spent all that money on stupid campaigns, and now it's like, oh, could y'all give us some money for fucking any of this shit? No. So it's just, oh, because
they're
it's
in a bunker somewhere.
Because it's probably in stocks and it's all speculative and shit. And meanwhile, Steve Ballmer just dropped 400 million bands on the forum. Cash. Did you see that? 400 million.
He's still with the long play. He said, fuck that.
Fuck it. Bands. He didn't say an equity deal, a land share deal. He brought up the truck and just said, give me this shit. And it was over. Which is like, damn, that's what we doing in times of corona, buying arenas? Great.
He probably already had that lined up.
He did, yeah. But it's just the idea that, like, the really rich people really are just trying to, like, wait out the wave while they divvy out $1,200 that is taxed out. So I say all that to say, I've been coping by enjoying media. And now if we could pivot, I would love to talk about my favorite fucking thing of the past, I don't know, year and a half. My favorite documentary. I watch a lot of docs. Shout out Stefan. I watch a lot of docs. I watch hundreds of docs every year. Tiger King, yo. Tiger King. It's the king of docuseries.
It was wild.
It might as well have been a narrative series, considering how, like, well put together the characters are. Like, the character is in the settings and shit. It's like, all right, every single person here has leopard outfits, or they look like an Oklahoma meth person, or just, like, it was so much you didn't have to see. You get one still of this of the episode. You're like, oh, this shit is wild. So who? I just want you. How do you feel?
Did you play GTA 5?
Trevor.
Did you play GTA 5?
The Trevor character.
Yeah,
he could work.
Isn't
there.
Everybody, like, definitely
mildly, like,
I think he did.
Character.
I think it was that tall ass
dude. My man with no legs.
But nah, not the other homie that was wearing the sunglasses.
Oh yeah, with the long hair. You know what's funny though, even bridging the two conversations, like the fact that that place could exist, or this whole world of these people exist, shows you why I'm a nihilist and why, like, the way our society is messed up is crazy. You got sexual abuse, you got animal abuse, you got threats, you got violence, you got weird harems and shit. And we talk about our bunkers in New York. Like, we're in New York, right? We're in a major city, or you're in LA or wherever you are. I'm like, oh, middle of nowhere, Oklahoma, you could do whatever the fuck you want. You really can. You could just,
oh yeah.
Can't nobody stop you. And I got a gun. The cops are coming fuck with me. No, I got tigers and a gun.
No, exactly. You don't even have to like embellish. You don't even have to use adjectives. He lives in rural Oklahoma and has a animal, lions, tigers, bears, chimpanzees. What else he got?
Yeah, all kinds of shit.
He has
tigers and ligers.
Lynx. What is lynx in plural?
Lynx.
They got ligers.
Yeah. Big cat sanctuary.
Bobcats. He had llama. I saw a llama in there. No, you said that llama.
So, all right. There's three main figures in this thing. You got the god Joe Exotic. our polysexual... gay cowboy singing tiger lover. You got
polyamorous, right?
Yeah, poly relationships. Then you got Carol Baskin, murderous Carol Baskin, and then Bhagavan Doc Antle. So you got basically three insane people, and not even including my man Tony Montana, who down in Miami, who's low key one of the
Tana,
the guy that was.
Nah,
in
Miami. I like the other one.
The guy.
The MAGA nigga, the one from Ohio. What was his name? Tim something.
Oh yeah, they just brought him in for color. He had nothing to do with anything. He just was there for commentary and shit. He just was like, yeah, like Joe's on.
He helped bankroll the. Bankroll the scumbag. No, there was the scumbag guy who was just like,
Joe. See,
these people were just too, it was almost too on the nose, man.
It was great.
What was his name?
I say,
hold on, Joe Exotic, Joe. And then it was two Joes.
It was Jeff.
It was going off the rails.
But
yeah, Jeff something. Joe and Jeff.
Honestly, though, I don't. Why do you have what?
He just had the whole scumbag look. He was wearing Affliction.
Because that was the wave. That's the wave.
That doc was. I'm gonna have to rewatch that whole doc just to live in it again.
It's an effort in a character study, I would say that. Like, these some fucking characters. If you're looking for a doc that's going to show you how to find characters, that's definitely it. And the fact that there's a whole world, I love any doc that's about business beef.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they defy parody.
Like, those are the best docs. Because there's this joint. I hear you still. I don't know if you hear me, but I hear you. But like there's this joint, anything about there's one about Kellogg that's really good, just like the history of fucking Kellogg and their beef. There's two brothers and Winston Post and how there's one about Midway Games and how that started. It's crazy, like that the I don't know, the Tiger World is just fucking nuts. It just trips me out. But I am a Joe Exotic sympathizer. I don't think he did much wrong. And I think he deserves better. If you really think about his path over the course of like the show, but also generally,
besides the harbouring, besides breeding,
breeding tiger,
euthanizing exotic.
But I was under the impression that Joe was not euthanizing them. And also, there's also this thing where it's like, I agree about, okay, you don't want to hurt these animals, right? You don't want to breed them. But tigers are so endangered at this point. You can't just leave them out in the wild. How do you do that? I don't really know what's the best way to put that versus a zoo. What is a zoo a good place? Really? I don't, you know, I don't know, man.
They left it vague.
So I don't know. That's just my my thoughts on that. Like I as a character, obviously he's a nutcase, but I think he was the most sympathetic of the major players in the whole documentary, which is saying something. In terms of things that are out now to stay occupied with, that's been the thing I've enjoyed the most between the characters and all the wild shit. There's also the Madam C.J. Walker thing, which I didn't think was that good. I watched it just because I've been watching things, but it felt weird with the way they tried to add the colorism aspect into the thing. I was like, I didn't really want the colorism aspect in that so hard. I don't know if you watched that, but it felt like, I don't know, a force, which was, I don't know, uncomfortable to me, but I watched it. I couldn't complain about the acting. I thought was good and everything. It was too SEO. They were trying to like get this black woman vibe thing, and I was like, damn, colorism, hair care, black actors I like, and I was like, damn, I want to like this, but I couldn't. It just felt, and it had this weird it had this weird boxing motif in it too. I don't know if you saw it, but like there's this boxing motif where they include like these dream sequences where Madam C.J. Walker is like fighting her like light-skinned enemy, and I was like, this is kind of, I don't know how I feel about this shit. It just was like, it was weird for me, but it was otherwise a good show thus far. I mean, good enough. I can't complain about it. I mean, it's dire times in terms of entertainment, so I take what I can get.
What was the name again?
What? Madam C.J. Walker, self-made Madam C.J. Walker thing on Netflix.
Which one?
It's called Self-Made. But overall, this shit was just kind of like, it was a mess to me. Shout out to though, she was dating Blair Underwood in the movie, which is like, oh damn, they finally did it. It's like, yo, we're gonna just give Octavia Spencer, we're gonna give her Blair Underwood. That's fine. Like, as a couple, like Blair Underwood, Octavia Spencer, fine. We're gonna just roll with that. And he was like loving on her and shit. I was like, look at how woke this shit is. This shit is woke. Big girls get love. So Crystal, what's going on? If you go into, we're on live with DJ. If you go in, and you see Queen Soto in the DJ, I know your phone died, but we're talking about Queen Soto as a Netflix show to watch. Have you seen that on Netflix, Queen Soto? It's like it's one of the first African, it's one of the first African originals. I did some of the AD voices for it. Like I did like a lot of the miscellaneous characters for the blind people. So it's like there's soldiers in there, and it's like, stop it,
yeah,
don't do that, or the white man, the white man is he we take our country back. I did a couple of those like loose lines. So those are in there if you want to check the audio description options. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it from what I've been watching. Like Tiger King is by far the most fire shit. I can't even, like, I think about Joe Exotic. I want him to like make it. It makes me feel nuts.
Have you seen High Fidelity?
Is it a movie?
It's a rom-com and,
rom-com. Okay.
Yeah, it's filmed up the street from me. Like, literally. A couple blocks up the street.
All right. Corona Diaries. I hope this works somehow. Catch y'all next time.
Hey, holla. Wash your hands.